On second thought, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this Moran Monday, the 11th day of April, 2022. This is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky's any real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. I had a sip of actual Coca-Cola with caffeine in it earlier, and I may be a little wound up. Hi, I'm Robin, and every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 11th, 10th, and 9th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Tony and Chico, one of our longest-standing members of the community. Thanks to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thanks to Christopher in Oregon. Thank you to John. Thank you so kindly. Thanks to Daniel. Thanks to Judith. Thanks to Joe Vecchio, our dear friend of long standing. And further thanks to Paul from Parts Unknown. And that gets us back to the, and thanks to Ralphs, and thanks to Khalil. Thank you, Mary Bell. Thank you, James. Thanks, one and all, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting going in a non-commercial, non-capitalist fashion for almost two decades. Thank you. Thank you so very much. If you were listening as the program began, what that little quote from Monty Python and the Holy Grail was about, well, it has to do with something I saw earlier today. You know, what I said before the sounder hit. On second thought, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place. It being Moran Monday, you know, not all Morans are of great weight. Not all Morans are earth-shattering in their import. Some Morans are... well, just plain stupid.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Exactly. And so we go to Ohio. Oh, dear God. Are the parents okay? Really? I mean, I'm so old I can remember when, like, PTA meetings and stuff like that were about book fairs and fundraisers to pay for playground equipment. Well, that ship's apparently sailed. So, at an elementary school... in Ohio, a school board noticed up and held an emergency meeting this past Friday night because a single parent, I don't mean a parent who wasn't married, I mean just one parent, went to the interim superintendent of schools, one Jeremy Froelich, and complained about a book reading. And so lo and behold, on Friday, several dozen parents who approved of the book were there at the meeting to speak in favor of it. A woman named Kaylin Brazelton has two kids in school. She works at Buckeye Valley West, whatever that is. And she said, I was simply confused, and people were taking stuff down, and they said we had to take anything down with unicorns and rainbows. Oh, fuck. God, these... Oh! I mean, morons, sure. But they're more... So the bottom line is that an author named Jason Tharp was going to read his children's book to school children called It's Okay to Be a Unicorn. Well, the aforementioned parent went to Interim Superintendent Froelich, who explained to a news outlet called WBNS that they just wanted to make sure we vetted the book, and our staff thought they had vetted it. And then told the author he could visit the school, but he couldn't read from the book. Now bear in mind, this isn't, you know, I don't know, maybe this has something to do with those godforsaken moms for liberty idiots. You know, the ones that got their maiden forms in a bunch over a book about seahorses with watercolor drawings of paintings of seahorses saying it would cause kindergartners to be all gender confused. Well, it turns out what and you know, this is just there's a long history of this kind of right-wing behavior. I've mentioned it before, that the right-wing crusade decades ago against a dirty, dirty, dirty book in the public library called Making It in the Kitchen with Mary. God, you can just... It just sounds so filthy. Making It in the Kitchen with Mary. My God. The things getting splashed around and big puffs of flour all over the... Making It in... Ooh. It was a cookbook. But, like their Bible, they only bang on these books. They don't actually read them. So, anyway, this children's book, It's Okay to Be a Unicorn, is about one thing. Learning to be yourself. Cis, trans, gay, straight, queer, whatever. None of which really is much in play for little kids. It's more like being a decent human being and not bullying your classmates and not to take it too much to heart if someone says some ugly thing to you. But no, one ignorant, noisy, bigoted parent was convinced it was, well, as WSYX reports, the book was given the boot because some thought it could be promoting a gay lifestyle. Gay is not a lifestyle. Being a diehard Packers fan is a lifestyle. Scrapbooking is a lifestyle. Yard sailing is a lifestyle. Needlework is a lifestyle. When the one station interviewed Jason Tharp, he said, I was using my story of struggling because I grew up as an adult and I didn't like myself, and it took a brain tumor for me to realize I was being a horrible human to myself because I was internalizing so much of this stuff. Tharp, meanwhile, is a straight married man who says he is most certainly not to put trying to push an LGBTQ agenda. Oh, God forbid. God forbid we make the little gay and trans kids feel good about themselves. Can't have that. He said, I'm not here to entertain adults that want to project their own whatever issues onto a children's book. I'm here to create books that inspire kids to dream big, embrace themselves, understand the importance of self-kindness, to really learn how to manage your emotions, because it's a confusing world we live in, and being a human is not easy. If an adult is struggling, that's what therapy's for, not my kids' books. And I hope that maybe even my kids' books might inspire some adults, but they're meant for the child to figure themselves out. Just be a tool. That's it. And this is all because right-wingers can't stop thinking about sex. They're all hung up, and they're self-repressive, and they oppress each other in their own communities. And consequently, all they think about all the time is making ficky fick. Jesus. But more in Monday. So, why not? Yeah, I know that joke, and I'm not going to share it, Flavio. That's horrible. But I get it. Yeah. Lee in New York says, making it in the kitchen, Mary. That set them off. I bet they wouldn't be upset with the Twilight Zone episode To Serve Man. Sounds like just another cooking show.
It's a cookbook.
Damn it, says Matt in San Francisco. I knew the unicorn book would do us in. They figured it out. How am I going to continue to recruit youngins into the lifestyle without the unicorn book? Oh, I know. And the seahorse book. No, they'd rather these children read the Bible. You know, with that really, really tender, sweet scene where Lot's daughters get him all drunk and then rape him. For we shall never find a man in this in this desolate land, or something like that. And Lot was a righteous man, righteous dude. On and on and on and on. Oh, by the way, a couple of program notes. Probably, almost certainly, no show Wednesday. I have my final speech therapy appointment down in Huntington, so that's going to be an all-day trip. This evening will be a shortened show because I have a committee meeting tonight. And so I'll have to knock off here in a fairly small amount of time. By the way, I didn't mention the fundraising goal. We're somewhere around $1,000, $1,100 or so. And that's this week, Friday night, Thursday night, and a little bit of Wednesday. So Ralph's has kindly put a $25 challenge on the table, and if someone will match that, well, that'll get us started. Thank you, Ralph's. Thank you so much. And thank you to whoever jumps in and answers that. And like I said, this will be a shortened program this evening because of the aforementioned meeting. I'll be getting out of here about 6 o'clock, or, well, you know, I'm going to do an hour of program is what it boils down to. Can't have the children learning about unicorns. Does that mean that what was the name of the, there was a band in the 60s, the Wild Irish Rovers or something, and they had a song about unicorns? There were rats and bats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. No singing. I guess that's got to go too. And that gorgeous medieval tapestry with the captured unicorn in a fence. Nope, can't have that either. It might offend the Republicans. And Republicans are delicate things. So now that we've gotten past the truly stupid, Let's. Well, Nitwit Nero was in North Carolina. Sorry, Ron. He went to Selma, North Carolina, where, and it became rather prevalent. It bounced around quite a bit on social media. You know, you get a chance to really see if you ask them, the maggots will tell you who they are. You don't even have to ask. They will show you. And so I guess the latest thing is a flag, an American flag, flag of the United States, you know, the 50 stars, the 13 stripes. But the way it's printed, there's a hand reaching toward the bottom of the flag, pulling it up, and behind the American flag is the Confederate battle flag. Well, there they are. Once again, we're back at that place where that Maya Angelou territory, when someone tells you who they are, believe them the first time. But that flag was in evidence at the Selma, North Carolina rally, wherein Nitwit Nero, well, he's an humble man with a lot to be humble about.
I've got to be the cleanest sheriff. I think I'm the most honest human being, perhaps, that God ever created, perhaps. Instead of
the most honest human being that God ever created. Meanwhile, the Washington Post has documented 30,573 false or misleading claims over the course of 4 years. And that's something north. I mean, I'm just doing ciphering on the fly, and we recognize that this is always problematic for me. But that works out to somewhere but around 7,500 lies per year. When you're at the 7,500 lies per year level, you're working at it. You can't just casually fib your way to 30,573 lies in 4 years. That takes some effort. But, you know, they sat there and they clapped and they cheered and they picked their teeth with their own toenail clippings, as maggots will. And because they're, you know, what a gullible, they believed every word he said. More in Mondays. I fear we've got more Morans than we have Monday, this being a shortened show. Let's head up to New Hampshire, shall we? New Hampshire. If Maine is the West Virginia of New England, New Hampshire is the Alabama. And so a guy named Bruce Fenton, who has declared candidacy for Senate in New Hampshire on the Republican ticket, he's a Bitcoin millionaire, according to the Daily Beast. And he really wants to be, yeah, whatever. He decided to unburden himself of his thoughts about the war in Ukraine. Interviewed by WMUR and a reporter there by the name of Adam Sexton. And this genius fits right in with More in Monday, said, "And remember, Zelensky is a hero now. Osama bin Laden was once considered a hero. There's so many parallels right now between Ukraine and the Taliban." Well, there aren't. You crow-Nazis! Oh, Jesus, not this shit again. But of course this shit again. It just gets weirder and weirder. Brother Deacon Asa shared a clip with me of a Russian propagandist. The clip is of I don't speak Russian or read it either. But MFA Russia is the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and their attack blonde came to the podium and began talking, and I'm not kidding, started griping about, no, really, Ukrainian borscht recipes. Now, I love me some borscht. I'm one of the weirds who likes it either hot or cold. Most people like it cold with a big dollop of sour cream, maybe some toasted, you know, rye bread, something like that. But I like it either way. And it's delicious. But this attack blonde appears to be, well, a little over half in the bag. I think they have to self-medicate just to be able to get out and speak the words upon which their lives depend. Well, everything that was going to... And it's, you know, because I don't speak Russian, I can't tell if she's slurring or not. Because there's something about Russian that always sounds like a tape being played backward or something. Well, everything that was connected with ethnicity and culture in the first place, she says. Even cookbooks were banned. Why?
Книги по кулинарии, они тоже запрещались. Почему? Потому что нельзя было...
Because it was No. I've seen this 4 or 5 times and I'm still just... No, really? Because it was impossible to share borscht. Well, it is impossible. Maybe if I used my old Foster Brooks voice, it would make more sense. Let's try that. Because it was impossible to share borscht. Well, it is impossible.
Делиться борщом. Ну, нельзя. Он должен был принадлежать только кому-то одному.
It was supposed to belong to only one. Some one nation. One nationality. And that's where she hit the podium with the palm of her hand.
Кому? Вот только кому-то одному. Какому-то одному народу. Одной национальности. А так, чтобы он был...
It is impossible that this should be shared and that every housewife...
И чтобы... В каждом городе или в каждом регионе каждая хозяйка могла приготовить.
No. Wait, that's beginning to verge on sounding like Harry Carey. Stop it. Only housewives make borscht. Well, it is Putin's Russia, so yeah, it's a very macho and manly place where. Never mind. The borscht wars. I mean, once upon a time, there was an area of the United States where comedians worked like, Jewish clubs and, you know, the Catskills? And wasn't that referred to as the borscht belt? But I guess Ukraine is hiding the secret recipe for borscht, and how will an entire country that's been making it for almost 1,000 years, ever figure it out for themselves?
По-своему нет. На компромиссы идти не хотели. Так это...
They didn't want to compromise, so this is what we're talking about. I guess.
Это и есть. То, о чем мы говорим, ксенофобия.
Xenophobia, Nazism, Ukro-Nazis, extremism in all its forms. Because there's no extremism in Russia. Nope, none, zip. Putin had the extremism taken out and killed.
Nazism. экстремизм во всех видах. Ну и все, что связано об...
The guy who originally tweeted it, Carl Bildt, co-chair of the European Council on Foreign Relations, he's Swedish, and all he said was, looks like they're beginning to lose it completely at MFA Russia, Ministry of Foreign Affairs. What a hot mess. But what have they got that they can talk about? And, of course, the news came out over the weekend that Putin, Vladdy Daddy, being unhappy with the way his war is going or not, has sent in a new general whose nickname is the Butcher. As if the war crimes weren't already bad enough, as if the humanitarian crisis wasn't already bad enough, they call him the Butcher of Syria. And he was also involved with the devastation of Chechnya. So that'll be something not to look forward to. Lord. Oh, and of course, I would be remiss if I did not also bring up the story out of Texas in which a woman who went to the hospital having attempted a home-induced abortion, you know, because Texas, well, it happened over a month ago. She showed up at the hospital. She was candid with the hospital staff about what had happened, and the hospital ratted her out and called the fucking cops. And a grand jury in Starr County, Texas, that's Starr with two R's, was convened, and they indicted her for murder. She was then arrested and put under jailed and put under $500,000 bond. I feel quite confident in saying that there are accused rapists in Texas who don't have $500,000 bonds. She's 26 years old. And the cops came and got her and stuffed her in jail. The district attorney of Starr County is the ironically named Gotcha A. Ramirez. And the funny thing is, Gotcha A. Ramirez sent out a press release saying that Starr County would dismiss the indictment against this young woman. But it's the same Gotcha A. Ramirez who convened the grand jury and obtained the indictment in the first place when Texas law specifically says that a pregnant woman cannot be charged with murder for having an abortion. But they did it anyway, because they're in a frenzy. The White Wing is in a frenzy in Texas. They have openly declared war on women. And, of course, the Right Wing in Texas also contains its own contingent of self-hating women, women who want their own rights taken away, who are filled with internalized misogyny. And, oh, my God, how horrible would it be to be eaten up with that? Well, again, it was dismissed. She's out. And I don't know if she would have any viable means of suing the state of Texas for and particularly personally, Gotcha A. Ramirez. But flagrantly indicting someone for something that isn't illegal and then putting them through that legal process, it feels like prosecutorial immunity shouldn't be available as a defense in this situation. But should be and is are entirely different things. It's infuriating, and it will, in Texas, it will continue to get worse before it gets better. Despite the good, all the good works of all the good progressives and liberals there. There are more liberals and progressives in Texas than there are in some entire other states. I mean, it's hard to contemplate, but they're just gerrymandered and suppressed to the point that it's hard for them to make their voices heard. But I'm sure John Bridavo read this and wanted to go out and punch something. That I know. That's the thing. Some of these things are so odious they make you think thoughts that you don't like to think, that you don't want to think, that you don't even want the universe to catch you thinking. But here we are. And Meanwhile, an ethics complaint has been filed in West Nashville, Tennessee. Jimmy Buffett has a song from one of his albums many years ago called West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gown. Sounds like things haven't changed that much. So in Nashville, a city council member, particularly for District 16, named Jenny Welsh, W-E-L-S-C-H, who herself is a white woman. Well, the aggrieved morons have filed an ethics complaint against her because she made statements saying that the group were loud white people, affluent white people, and a loud white member of Reclaim Brookmead Park that despises homeless people, according to the Nashville Scene, filed an ethics complaint against her. Said that being referred to as loud, angry white people is a, get this, wait for it, because they're so fragile and they're so delicate and they are so easily hurt. They said, yeah, a racial slur. Referring to them as white people is a racial slur. We were angered, embarrassed, and appalled at being referred to as a white people by a sitting council person. Does she realize her social media comments could actually put us in danger? Oh, from whom? Jesus. But that's, you know, who they are. It would be funny if they weren't so toxic. But they are. And it's not. Let's see here. It's a many Morans kind of evening. God, it was such a booger of a weekend. I'm really ready for spring. Ready to feel, you know, warm sun on my pale pink hide. You know, start slathering down with SPF Avogadro's number. But not this weekend. Oh no, I was out in the yard, bundled up, cussing out individual snowflakes. You rotten little, you dirty. Because it snowed all day Saturday. Fully a week into the month of April. I mean, I've lived here for a very long time. You would think I would be used to it now, but every year when this happens, it's like a fresh round of heartbreak. We'll get there, but damn. Oh, and let's go a little north of Nash Vegas. Speaking of white people, Bullitt County, Kentucky, where the jailer is a tussle gutted old pink fellow by the name of Paul Watkins. Well, former Bullitt County Sheriff Dave Greenwell recorded him. Using, in a 64-minute recording, using that word, you know, the one with all the same letters as ginger, 6 times. I'm saying this like to you all. I don't say this in public. See, my granddaughter's married to a F and he's a N. There's a difference between a black guy and a N and this bastard. I mean, I know I'm old school, but I ain't never seen like all this shit. Have you all? And then you watch TV and you see fucking and fucking white woman, all kinds of shit. Now, this guy is the jailer. And he said all this. It was recorded, and I'm not playing it. But the funny thing is, it's the second time this old fuck's been caught. And why can't he retire? God, the brutality of this country. We work old coots like this forever and a day when they need to just be home, sitting in the Barca lounger, watching Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and screaming at the television or screaming at clouds, whatever works. His lawyer is a pettifogger by the name of Carol Pettit. Carol said, these inappropriate comments in no way reflect how Jailer Watkins considers the individuals mentioned, and he sincerely regrets the descriptions and comments used. I'll bet he does. He was sued previously for creating a hostile work environment by constantly using profane racial slurs. Former employee there at the jail, Grace Smith, said he's extremely racist. He tried to hide it, but when you've been racist for a long time, you don't hide it very well. The jailer was a force to be reckoned with. He didn't believe in following rules. And can you imagine how he treated anyone not as pink as him, who came into his tender mercies there at the Bullitt County Jail. And hell, he'd probably sue for being called white people too. God, aren't they just dainty, downright precious? Um, Oh, and by the way, thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island for answering Ralph's challenge. That is so kind of you, Charlene. Thank you so much. And that'll get us down to 1050. So we're getting there. Yeah, Lee in New York says, "Is ready for spring." You're not the only one. And a wizard of id. Strip. Exactly. Ron in Raleigh says, "Don't see. This gentleman's speech shows there is no racism in America, and America is not a racist country." Right. And, let's see here. Yeah, because, I mean, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts declare that there's no such thing as racism anymore in America? "I have an idea," says Steve in New York. "Let's give every Fox News watching viewer who reaches the age of 65 one of those Art Linkletter chairs." That's an obscure reference. Once again, a lot of radio going on in this country. Betcha nobody's mentioning Art Linkletter. Mm-mm. Oh, let's see here. I had to... I had a great note from Lady B yesterday. "Why do we put up with this shit? Re-inflation," from the New York Times. "Other potential solutions the lawmakers have mentioned or enacted, like a gas tax holiday or direct cash relief, could make inflation worse by putting more money in people's pockets and keeping demand high without necessarily increasing supply. We're not in a position to help households right now because it would cause more inflation," Jason Furman, an economist at Harvard, said. And a link, more expensive gas could have lasting consequences. It's consequencing the hell out of me, but I'm not going to, you know, at least I'm not getting taken down by, I'm not getting taken down by the cops in Lancaster, PA for putting, "I did that," Joe Biden stickers on gas pumps. God bless it. I went back and watched that clip a couple more times. "Why is it," Lady B asks, "we can cut taxes on the rich, strain our social programs even more, and continue to underfund infrastructure work, yet if our bosses and the government give the rest of us extra money to spend during a pandemic, we threaten to basically crash the economy? Voodoo economics, perhaps?" Yeah, that reminds me, Lady B, of a meme I saw in the last couple of weeks. And I chuckled grimly to myself when I saw it, because what it said was, "Vladimir Putin's about to find out why Americans don't have universal health care. We spend it all on bombs. And then we share our bombs." Lady B continues, "I was watching Yellowstone with my neighbor last night." Yellowstone's set in Montana. "In one scene, a distinguished older white woman with gorgeous silver hair explained why she wanted to buy a certain parcel of land. She said she could build a hotel where guests pay $1,000 a night. Those same guests will also be spending $1,000 on dinner and drinks. Afterwards, they'll go to a casino and drop $25,000. Easy. That's why she needed to build over all that natural beauty, because why own such beautiful land if you can't have thousands of rich people tramp over it on the way to take a picture with a moose? Anyway, it's a fictional story, but with true statistics. It boggles my mind that there are people who can actually spend $25,000 at a casino. They never have to worry about gambling away their rent money. It's like a regular night on the town to them. And yet we gave these motherfuckers a tax cut? What gives? In regard to the article, we live in a world where if bosses are forced to pay people an actual fucking living wage, they raise the prices of everything just to maintain their profit margin. I don't know how many Horn listeners own their own businesses, and kudos to them for their hard work and dedication. But it has been said, if you cannot afford to pay your employees a living wage, then you're a lousy business person. I cannot understand why we maintain that status quo in this country. It's self-defeating to the lives of millions upon millions of people. We have to keep people poor to keep the cost of living low. This is stupid and inhumane, but it's actually economic gospel. It's like we're all just a bunch of stupid sheep waiting around for someone to tell us it's okay to graze. Why do we pick leaders who believe this? Why are the rich considered godlike and thus beyond reproach? They eat, sleep, shit, and bleed like the rest of us. Why do we fight so hard to protect their interests to the detriment of ours? I think it's a form of Stockholm Syndrome or learned helplessness, or I don't know. You know how to keep Social Security solvent? How to keep Medicare solvent? Raise the wage limit to make sure make more people eligible. Make the rich pay more in taxes and enact Medicare for all. But we refuse to. Why? If you're rich and retired, SSI is just an extra check. And you can always choose to pay more if your primary care physician doesn't want to refer you to a plastic surgeon to fix your deviated septum. So goddamned easy, but we don't want to unduly burden the rich. Ironically, a healthy populace means more workers and less crime. But more importantly, more organ donors will be available should all that coke the rich snorted in the 70s lead to heart failure. Jeff Bezos will not be sent to live in the poorhouse if his company has to spend an extra million or more to keep his workers from losing their cars and houses. Yet we coddle him. We enable him. He doesn't want to pay taxes, and we let him. Our entire infrastructure is built by taxes. Bezos has thousands of delivery trucks bringing cheap Chinese-made junk to our doors, yet he's too good to help maintain it. We made him a billionaire. And he thinks he doesn't owe this country shit. Just listen to a story about how Marine Le Pen is giving French President Emmanuel Macron a real run for his money in France. To summarize, Le Pen is a fascist, but she's a charismatic fascist, so when she says she'll create more jobs and keep foreigners from taking over the City of Lights, people believe her. Never mind that the types of jobs she's claiming should be given back to French citizens are jobs many French natives would never want to do. Getting rid of the people doing them will only make things worse. She just might win, and France goes from the frying pan into the fire. Is it hyperbolic to say this country may be irrevocably headed toward economic collapse? Because it is. It's scary and hard to believe, but it is, and folks like me and you, Robin, we're going to feel it the most. This isn't the goddamn 1950s post-war middle-class boom. That shit is over. Boomers, yes, you guys got what you needed and now are pulling up the ladder behind you. Boomers are benefiting from a program started in the 30s and started its slow decline in the 80s. You're living way past the age. The average lifespan was 80 years ago. You get a check and you've earned your check, but some of you just won't fucking retire. And those that do jump through hoops to make sure their taxes remain low. You want to know why your grown kids still live with you? Does voting for Reagan and George W. Bush ring a bell? God damn it, yes you did. You knew exactly what they stood for and you did well under them, but you screwed over your grandkids' future. You left your Gen X sons and daughters in limbo, and that's why you can't roam your house naked anymore. That naked roaming has a certain value. So what to do about the uber rich? Behead them? Eat them? Yeah, right. We still have apologists for Trump. Republicans who wanted to sink under the table every time he opened his mouth but still felt like they had to dance with the one what brought him. As for the rest of the brainwashed, they know they're going to hell. But as God is their witness, they will never admit they were duped by a charlatan. They wanted to believe, and so they do. Because surely there has to be something to make all this suffering worth it. Surely God wouldn't send his adopted son and savior to the rescue only for him to bungle the nation's pandemic response, as well as shit on the very idea that America was once, if ever, a true democracy. I'm sorry, we're a republic, as if that means anything. We don't get to choose our leaders. Our leaders are appointed, with a few genuine leaders sprinkled in. We're just too fucking stupid to recognize autocracy when we see it, and really don't care if we do. There's nothing wrong with knowing and acknowledging that we fucked up. I've never voted Republican. Me either. As a minority, I could see this shit coming from a mile away, how you treat the least of these, etc. Well, we've squeezed as much blood from the poor minority turnips we can. It's your turn now, middle-class America. Starts with smaller checks, elimination of pension programs, and cutting back on Medicare. If that doesn't move the needle, we'll go after women's rights. It makes no difference that unless you'll be raising that child by yourself or through TANF, it's none of your goddamn business what that woman does with her pregnancy. But yet you feel compelled to tell her what to do. You don't know her life, the father, or if she's going to raise that kid in a house or a car. You'll never meet that woman. You'll never face her pain and suffering. Yet you feel like she's somehow hurting you. Better to focus on the Republican calling her a sinner instead of the fact that they're bleeding you dry. Like a dog, you were distracted by that metaphorical squirrel. In the meantime, the natural gas that heats your home is going up in price. Turn down the heat and put on layers. You voted against solar energy, and for people who make millions off of you continuing to use fossil fuels, your grandkids will never enjoy the splendor of nature like you did, and you only have yourselves to blame. By the way, this is just an aside, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be walking on Lady B's passionate and brilliant remarks, but we had one of those things yesterday. Yesterday was actually pretty. Saturday sucked. But blue skies, hardly a cloud in the sky yesterday, a little bit windy, got up to about 55. And so, yeah, felt a little better. And then come home, get to the evening. Annette and I sit down to start, you know, to watch a movie. And it happened. Blink. Click, 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 click. Beep, 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 beep. And all the uninterruptible power supplies start beeping. But then the power came back. Yay. And then it went out again. And the beeping started again. But then it came back. And I looked at Annette and said, oh, no, not this shit again. Because that's what, you know, here in the third world country that is West Virginia, yeah, we can't keep the electricity going. Fucking Gaza sometimes here. And then the third one, and the third one is always the tell. Click. Beep, beep, beep. And I looked at Annette and I said, we're screwed. And she said, yep. But it came back one more time. And then the fourth. It went out and it stayed out. And Appalachian Power said, yeah, we'll get your power back to you about 5 a.m. Shit. And so rather than light a candle, we cursed the darkness. Actually, we cursed Appalachian Power. And their obsession with coal-fried, antiquated technology. And I was really worried when it finally came back and we powered everything up again. One uninterruptible power supply was not behaving. I'm happy to announce it finally reset itself and everything's good. But Lord, those moments make me they make me genuinely dream of the day when we've got a distributed grid. Dream on, Robin, dream on. Anyway, Lady V says, end of rant for now. I can't believe the shit this country has found itself in. We're too diverse to think we'll ever get everyone on the same page. The divisions are too deep. About the only thing that should have brought us together would have been the pandemic, yet the stupidest man alive managed to use that to drive us further apart, and we let him. Live every day as normally as you can, as best you can. The world is being taken over by fascists, and unlike our grandparents, we don't care. Fuck it, y'all. I'm gonna take a nap and dream of the big, beautiful Colorado fields I used to run through. They've been replaced by apartments and car dealerships now. But I knew that life once. I knew how good it was and how ideal my future could be. By 2025, we will have destroyed the planet beyond return. All because we wanted a president we could have a fucking beer with. Oh, Lady B, Lady B. How genius you are. Truly, that is. And our pal, labor man, Gary, says, you are so awesome, Lady B. And I agree. And that's a not funny cowbell. That's a brilliant, brilliant essayist cowbell. Randy Radar even goes so far as to say Lady B should write for Counterpunch. Yeah. So that pretty much brings us to the end of the program for this evening. I'm sorry it's shortened, but I have to attend these meetings. And back tomorrow, regular program. No program Wednesday. Everything should be good on Thursday and Friday. So thank you. And if in the meantime anybody would like to, because we'll be 13:50 tomorrow, but we'll cross fingers and hope for the best. If you want to help out, it's over the new PayPal interface is over at the main page on headon.live, and we need it. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you this evening to Charlene, an original founding member of the sorority of Leans, for jumping in on Ralph's challenge. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, Headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. I think it's this Sunday at an Enviro Film Festival in San Francisco. Devil Put the Coal in the Ground will be playing at the Roxy. See that film as soon as you can. It is profound, and it is garnering accolades everywhere it plays. Stay safe. I still have to schedule my booster. I don't know why. I don't know why I haven't, but it's just, you know, busy. But that's not an excuse. I hope you get your second booster. I hope you continue to wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet. Like Paul from Parts Unknown says, carry your hand sanitizer. Wear your mask. I'm still masking. Oh, Lord, yes, I'm still masking. And, of course, if some parent comes towards you hollering, unicorns, they're talking about unicorns to five-year-olds. Oh, no. They're teaching the gay lifestyle. Avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later.